Coming up on today's episode, we got NBA playoff talk for you here today. A full NBA podcast talking about our Miami Heat taking care of business on game one this past Sunday. We're definitely going to talk about that, give you guys my reactions, a quick little recap, and talk about the other beautiful, beautiful games that we had over this past weekend, as the NBA playoffs did not disappoint one bit. I mean, a crazy finish out there in Boston between the Nets and the Celtics. We talk about that. A crazy matchup in the West with the Timberwolves and Grizzlies. Definitely got a lot to talk about that. And then the NBA Awards finalists were announced. So the three finalists for each award were announced. And there was somebody that was left off the freaking list. And those of you guys who don't know, please tune in because I have a rant about that and I ain't happy. And I'm voicing my frustrations right here on the podcast. So all that coming up on the Miami Sports Vibes podcast. Welcome to another episode of the Miami Sports Vibes podcast. Here we talking Heat basketball. We talking Heat playoff basketball at that. Man, what a beginning to the playoffs was that on Sunday for the Miami Heat. I mean, Easter Sunday, 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. It started off our damn day great, to say the least, man. The fans were electric with the white hot playoffs. You see all the fans wearing white. And how about the freaking team? I mean, you look at this team's effort in this game one, and all you can just do is say, wow, especially from a defensive standpoint. That's what really caught my eye. Man, let's get right into it, man. This Heat team took matters into their own hands, like, right away. I mean, right away, they felt their presence. Like, they just said, you know what? We're going to bully you. We're hungry to play. And we're going to show you why we're the first seed as well. All those people that disrespected the Heat, people that were saying, you know, the Hawks could possibly eliminate that. Yeah, it's like the Heat took all that shit personally and said, fuck that, we're about to show up and show these guys out. And they really did, like, right away from the beginning of the game. I mean, making their presence felt defensively on Trae Young. I mean, Trae Young finished the game 0-7 from 3 and 1-12 from the field. Like, Trae freaking Young. One of the guys that's basically torched the Heat here and there, torched so many teams, is going to make an All-NBA team more than likely. A guy that could put up literally 30 in his sleep, man. And he scored 8 fucking points. 1-12. You just love to see that, honestly. You love to see it. You love to see it as a Heat fan. I'm sure Jimmy Butler loves seeing that from a defensive standpoint, knowing how he loves defense. But the Heat just put a collective effort together into stopping this Atlanta Hawks team. And they were rattled. Man, it literally, like, Atlanta had zero chance of winning this game. You know, you look at John Collins coming back. You know, they made a big deal about that. He finished 4-6, had an okay game. Only 21 minutes, though, because he is coming back from injury. Clint Capella was down with an injury. But honestly, even if you have this team at full strength, do we really think that would have changed the outcome of this game? Absolutely not. I mean, honestly, who I thought played the best, you look at the points, you know, Gallinari scored the most points, but I thought DeAndre Hunter had a solid game. He was 6 of 8, 14 points. He's a good player. But I mean, they're big guys. Like, their X factor, to me, is Bogdan Bogdanovic. And off the bench, he was 0 of 8 from the field and 0 of 4 from 3. Finished with 6 points, only netting some free throws in there. So you have basically the main guy, which is Trae Young, who shot 1 for 12. And then Bogdan Bogdanovic shooting 0 of 8. So together, Trae Young and Bogey, 1 for 20 from the field. Listen, you do that every night, I mean, we're fucking sweeping these guys. And there's no doubt about it, honestly. But let's talk about the Heat. So obviously, you know, the Heat just went crazy, winning this game 115-91. Like I said, it was not even close. The energy from the fan base to the court was on one the whole fucking way. Jimmy buckets, though, 9 of 15 from the field, had 1 3-pointer as well. Why not? 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 21 points, 33 minutes played. And Jimmy was straight up playoff Jimmy. He was playoff Jimmy for game one. All gas, no breaks. Absolutely love to see it. You see the pick, like, the difference in intensity by Jimmy Butler and this whole Heat team. Like, you feel it. Like, you really, you know, you saw glimpses throughout the season, you know, them staying afloat in the first seed. And we're like, man, you know what? This team's got it. But we need to see it in the playoffs. And I know it's game one. I don't want to get too carried away. But, man, it's hard. It's hard just to not really think big when you think of this team. When you think about the season. When you think about the injuries and the adversities they felt. And then coming out in their first playoff game and just smacking the hell out of Trae Young and the Hawks. It's hard not to get fucking excited, guys. It's really, really hard. But, yeah, Jimmy Butler, 21 points. Awesome. Played his ass off. How about fucking PJ Tucker, though? 6 of 8 from the field, 4 of 4 from 3, 5 rebounds, 16 points. His defensive effort, man, that's a guy right there that you absolutely love to have on your team come playoff time, ain't it? PJ fucking Tucker was outstanding. And Bam Adebayo, only 1 of 5 shooting, had 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 6 points. Not too good of a game. But he was still doing a lot of things defensively. He was the anchor of the defense, doing things defensively, doing what he normally does. And, hey, picked up 5 assists. And, honestly, we didn't even need Bam to really take over. So a lot of people, you know, had some pushback on that. Like, how does Bam only have 6 points? You know, 1 of 5 shooting. He's got to be better. But, listen, it's going to come. And it's probably going to come game two after you guys will hear what I have to say about what Bam was left out, what list Bam was left out on. But I'm sure Bam is going to have a pretty big game probably tonight. But talk about the other guys. Kyle Lowry, 4 of 8 from the field, 9 assists, 10 points. Absolutely love what he did as a floor general out there, getting guys involved, playing unselfishly. I mean, there was one play where Kyle Lowry was pretty much open off a steal for a layup. He said, nah, let me hand it off to my guy Strus for the dunk. Things like that, just the unselfish play, the chemistry, you really see it in this Heat team. Max Strus only had 1 three-pointer, finished with 9 points, but you know who picked up the slack for him? Duncan freaking Robinson. I mean, how about this? 9 of 10 from the field, 8 of 9 from 3, 8 three-pointers for 27 points, and guess what? In 23 minutes only. 23 minutes coming off the freaking bench. I told you guys on the last podcast, I did it with Kevin. We both said, you know, who's our X factors? I told him right away it's Duncan Robinson. And there is no doubt about it. I am not wavering. Honestly, the X factor of this entire playoff run is Duncan freaking Robinson. If Duncan Robinson can be this Duncan Robinson, I mean, you don't even have to be this outstanding. I mean, 8 of 9 is freaking ridiculous. I mean, that's out of this mind. But if you can come off the bench and give me like 5 to 6 threes and, you know, cause the attention that Duncan Robinson normally brings on a night-to-night basis, and he can provide at least like a 20-plus clip, give you 20 off the bench along with Tyler Hero, because Tyler Hero didn't even get cooking, and wait till he gets cooking. Duncan Robinson is the X factor of this team. Duncan Robinson plays like this or similar. I don't think no one's fucking with us. I really don't. I honestly mean that. No Milwaukee, no Philly, no Boston. It don't fucking matter. Even Phoenix is going to have trouble with that. Let's say, we face them in the finals. Like, who the fuck is going to stop this Heat team if everyone is able to click on all cylinders, including Duncan, including Bam, X, Y, and Z, and that's just offensively. Defensively, you know what we're about. Everybody knows what we're about. I'm telling you, man, Duncan Robinson was absolutely on one, man. It was nice to see. It was a nice sight to see. You see the confidence in him, and that's what a shooter needs, some confidence. So hopefully he could carry some of this shit on over to tonight and for the rest of this playoff season, because you know what? Was it a struggle of a season all year? Absolutely. I mean, anybody who disagrees with that is lying to themselves, okay? And, you know, the numbers are okay, but when you look at the standard that we hold the Duncan Robinson to, he didn't play that well. He didn't have a good regular season, not to his standard, not for the contract that you pay him for, not for the money we give him. But, man, I'm telling you what, he keeps this up and has an outstanding playoff run. He makes it all worth it. I mean, I think he will. So I think a lot of Heat fans are going to be scratching their heads saying, I don't know if we would, you know, be so reluctant to trade Duncan after this run. But topic for another day. I mean, please. We're in the playoffs. He's on our fucking team now. Like, let's go chase that chip. That's what it's all about. So Duncan Robinson, I mean, shout out to you, my guy. 27 fucking points. 8 three-pointers. Off the bench as well, another guy I have to mention, Tyler Hero. 3 for 11 shooting, only 6 points. I mean, that's got to be a fucking season low, right? I mean, 6 points from Tyler Hero, not even 10? Not even fucking 10. Absolute struggle for Hero. 3 for 11. He did get 5 rebounds, 5 assists. He was trying hard, provided some good defense as well, getting other guys involved, had a couple nice passes. But, man, the offense was not there for him. Credit to him, though. He was trying to find a shot. He did not lack confidence. He was trying to find it and ended up missing a lot of shots. But 3 for 11, I'd really doubt that that's going to be a night that he's going to continue to have. So best believe he's probably going to turn that shit around tonight as well. So Tyler Hero, 6 points. Not too good. Bam Adebayo, 6 points as well. Not too good. But, like I said, they're going to turn it around tonight, and that's my honest opinion. So, as you guys know, Game 2 is tonight at 7:30 on TNT. The Heat are favored by 7 points. That's a pretty big number, but honestly, the way we smack them, I mean, what else are you going to do? We are the number one seed at the end of the day. Atlanta's got some question marks. Obviously, Clint Capella is going to be out, but how is Trae Young going to perform? Is he going to get locked up again? If he does, will Bogdan Bogdanovic get it going? Remember, that's who I said is the X factor. That's the guy I'm really watching out for. DeAndre Hunter had a solid game. I feel like he can provide something. And from the Heat's perspective, it's simple. You know you could smack this team. You know the talent level is way different. You are way better than this Atlanta Hawks team. The mission for me, if I'm Miami, take care of fucking business. You're at home, smack them again. The more you smack these guys and the quicker you get through this series, the better it is for all these guys that are on the injury report. Obviously, they're going to play, but I'm talking about guys that are a little bit banged up, and that's pretty much a lot of people throughout the regular season. I mean, if you're able to play a whole 82-game season going to the playoffs, nobody's fucking healthy. So the quicker you get through this series, that'll be beneficial for the Heat, beneficial for P.J. Tucker, who has a bit of an injury. Jimmy Butler, I mean, you know Jimmy Butler needs his rest when needed. I mean, that guy is, once Jimmy's playing, it doesn't matter if they're up by 20, 30, or whatever. He's on the floor. He's giving it all gas, no breaks. So that, right? Bam Adebayo, obviously, he has a little bit of an injury lingering there. Want to get him some rest. So I think the mission is just straight up, kill this team. Get this done early again, and just go ahead one game at a time, but try to get a freaking sweep to buy these guys some rest, because once after this round, it's going to get spicy. I mean, most likely, either playing Philly or Toronto, whoever it is, that's going to be a tough-ass series. And then after that, either playing probably whoever it may be, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, or Boston, that's going to be a tough series as well, and then the NBA Finals. So this is your time to take advantage. I mean, we see the talent, like the talent level. We're capable of getting this series done early, and I think the Heat should absolutely take advantage of that. But for this game tonight, can Duncan Robinson keep it going? That's what I'm looking for. Can Tyler Hero have a bounce back game, which I think he will? I mean, 6 points is highly unlike him. So I'm looking for Hero to get going. I think he goes off big time. Definitely 20 plus. 20 plus in a Heat win, that's probably plus money on FanDuel. So I'll probably hop on that as a bet. Bam Adebayo, what will we get from him? I'm hoping he bounced back. We'll see. You know, Bam Adebayo is not the type of guy that's going to force shots, but I do expect him to be a little bit more aggressive. I don't know if he has it. We'll see. But I just definitely don't see him having 6 points. So maybe even a double-double. Definitely making some highlights on the defensive end after being left off that list that I'm going to talk about. But yeah, I think Tyler Hero's got to get going, and I think he does. I think the Heat are going to be up on a mission here. They're going to take this serious. They're going to try to lock up Trae Young again. I don't know if that will happen, but yeah, I think we win tonight. I think we win comfortably. I think we remain on this mission. It might be a little bit harder than the first one. I expect it to be harder, but I think with Tyler Hero getting it going, I think that's going to be what's really going to make it overall an easy win, and you have to, because Game 3 in Atlanta, you know that's going to be a tough game to win. You definitely feel way more comfortable going up 2-0 than going up Atlanta 1-1. I mean, why? Why do that to yourself? So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. I'm confident in this team, though. But let's talk about the rest of the NBA playoffs. So obviously, playoffs kicking off last Saturday, it was freaking entertaining, man. And right now, I'm recording this right before the Monday night game, so you will not hear any takes on the game twos that are on Monday night, which is Dallas and Utah, Philly and Raptors, and Nuggets at Golden State. But quickly about those playoffs matchups. Man, Saturday was awesome. I had such a blast watching these games. The Utah Jazz kicked it off, winning game one against Dallas. Remember, I picked Dallas to win this series, but I thought Luka was going to be healthy for the series. Now, is he going to play in game three? We don't know, but his status remains unclear. And I think without Luka Doncic, I think that's going to be Jazz all the way. And they took advantage. I mean, they started off a little sluggish, but they did pick up the win, picking up the series lead 1-0. Game two is, like I said, Monday night, and I'm recording that. Dallas got to win. They better hope they win because, man, going to Utah down 0-2, you pretty much could kiss that series goodbye, even if Luka comes back. So if Dallas were to have any chance, they need to tie this series up at one apiece. But the second game on Saturday, man, the Minnesota Timberwolves picking up the win 130-117 against the Memphis Grizzlies. Watching that particular game, man, it was just amazing. Like, I'm going to have so much fun watching that specific series. I hope to God that shit goes seven games because, man, seeing the young athletic, like, Anthony Edwards, the young athletic Ja Morant, and both of these young, hungry teams who are just experienced, getting so much experience here in the playoffs, it's just so fun. And you can tell it's new to these teams. Like, these teams are going straight up all gas, no brakes, because they don't really know what it's like to be in the playoffs like that. And you get that vibe. And that's why I hope to God that we get seven games of this, because boy, was that entertaining. I mean, Anthony Edwards, 36 points. Come on, man. 36 points, and he was making tough, tough shots. So Karl Anthony Towns, obviously I'm a big fan of his. He had 29 points and 13 rebounds. Definitely had a big time game. And Ja Morant had 32, and you know, he constantly kept trying to get the guys back in the game, but ultimately was not enough. And it's not even because, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies didn't have a good offensive game. It's just the Timberwolves, from an offensive perspective, were just killing it. I mean, it felt like everything was going in for them. They had 16 three-pointers, 50% from the field. I mean, that's a recipe to win yourself some damn good games. So I think game two is going to be awesome. That also is tonight. It's going to go at the same time as the Heat, unfortunately, like 1 hour difference. But hopefully I could, you know, keep an eye on it a little bit there, because I think that's going to be a crazy, crazy ass series. The Raptors and the Sixers, that game was not even close. 76ers went crazy, and it wasn't even James Harden that went crazy. It was freaking Tyrese Maxey, 38 fucking points, 14 of 21 shooting. He was big time. Scottie Barnes did go down with an injury late. It's going to be interesting to see the status of Scottie Barnes. Is he going to be able to go this series? Because he's a big, big part of what the Raptors do. And like I said, game two is tonight when I'm recording this. That's another one. Like, Raptors, they have to try to steal a game here and go 1-1. I don't see it happening, though. I don't see it happening. Tyrese Maxey, the way he's played in that first playoff game, the way he's played all year, it's a dangerous bunch. It's a dangerous bunch, but James Harden definitely has to get going. He definitely has to get going from an offensive standpoint. I mean, is he rebounding? Yes. Is he getting a bunch of assists? Yes. But man, I feel like he can do way better scoring the basketball, and it's only a matter of time till he does so. But the last game Saturday, the Golden State Warriors against the Denver Nuggets. Steph Curry coming back from his injury, came off the bench. Jordan Poole started and had 30 points, 9 of 13 from the field. And Golden State did not look back. I mean, you got vibes from just like that old Warriors team. Like, there's the Warriors being in the playoffs with that fan base, with Draymond Green screaming and rebounding the ball, pushing the break. Total chills you get just watching beautiful basketball. Klay Thompson out there, now having a guy like Jordan Poole. Man, Golden State looks freaking tough. Really tough. They're going to be a tough out, honestly. I mean, I think there's no doubt about it. We're going to see Phoenix and Golden State going against each other because, man, Golden State looks scary good. And Steph Curry did not have a good game at all in his return. I mean, coming off the bench, first of all, I mean, he shot 5 of 13, 3 of 6 from 3. I mean, it's okay, 16 points, but it just, you know, it looked like he's going to take a little bit of time. Maybe just one game is all he needs. But yeah, just wait till Curry gets hot. Poole does this. How about the young guys? How about the young guys in the NBA? I mean, man, you got these young players going off in the playoffs. In their first playoff game, Anthony Edwards, Jordan Poole, Tyrese Maxey, Yo, the league is in good fucking hands. Like, these young players, they have no, they don't even seem scared. It's like, you tell them, yo, you're not scared. It's like, what? That's a word? It's like, they don't even know. I mean, like I'm telling you, the shots that Jordan Poole and Anthony Edwards were taking and making was just insane. It was remarkable. But let's talk about the rest of the games on Sunday. Obviously, we talked about the Heat, but the Celtics and Nets. Celtics taking a 1-0 series lead, 115 to 114 victory. Jason Tatum with a layup at the buzzer. That game was fucking awesome. That's another series that I hope we get seven. So my favorite series, besides our Heat, obviously, is the Nets and Celtics. And on the West side is definitely the Timberwolves and Grizzlies. I mean, those two series right there, please, please tune in. I mean, you're missing out on some great freaking playoff basketball if you're not watching. Kyrie Irving was outstanding, 39 points, 12 of 20 from the field. Man, talking shit to the Boston crowd. The Boston crowd was talking shit back. There was a lot of back and forth, the energy there. Celtic fan base was going nuts. Game came down to the wire. And Jason Tatum obviously finishing up with 31 points. But, man, came down to the wire where Kyrie Irving pretty much looked like he was just taking over, which he was. And it looked like the game was all over. I mean, Kyrie Irving hit a crazy three, put the Nets up three. And right there, you think, like, man, did Kyrie Irving just really hit the dagger in Boston? It sure felt like it. And just quickly before you know it, Boston had an opportunity. They had an opportunity. Man, down by one. Get a rebound. Marcus Smart is pushing it up. Marcus Smart ends up getting, I think it was, they pass it to Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown was looking to operate. Now, Boston had a timeout, and they elected not to call it. So they wanted to go fast-paced, try to get something sneaky. And, man, I mean, it looked like trouble. I know Jaylen Brown was trying to get going. He could not find a spot. Kicked it out to Marcus Smart. And right then and there, I mean, Marcus Smart, honestly, would take that shot. I mean, it was going to be a bad shot. It was going to be a prayer. He decides to put the ball in the deck, finds a cutting Jason Tatum, where Tatum just spins and lays it up at the buzzer. I mean, that's like something I've never seen. And when you just look at the replay and look at Kevin Durant, just let Tatum, I mean, he was just stunned. If you guys haven't watched that video, it's hilarious. I mean, just seeing Kevin Durant saying like, oh no, like he was beat and he was cooked. And man, the Celtics taking a 1-0 series lead. Honestly, Kevin Durant, 9 of 24 from the field, 23 points. He's got to be better, and I'm sure he will be. I mean, he's Kevin freaking Durant, but it sucks for Brooklyn to have Kyrie Irving that scored 39 points and be up at the end of the game and only get 23 points from a Kevin Durant. I mean, you can argue Kevin Durant gives you like 28 or a normal KD game. You know, 9 of 24 is not that good compared to what we see from KD. You know, 1 for 5 from three. Like, that's unlike KD at the end of the day. You can argue if KD has one of those KD games, Brooklyn's taking this, took that game 1-0. And they would feel pretty damn good right now. So I think game two is going to be freaking outstanding. Who will win? I don't know. I feel like, honestly, I think Boston wins game two. I really do. I think Brooklyn's game to win was game one. They let it slip away. And you're not really going to get that opportunity again on the road. So I think Boston's going to go up 2-0, but I think Brooklyn is going to answer in game 3 and 4 and win their two at home. I think we're in for a 7-game series with that one. I still stand by that as I gave on my predictions. The third game on the schedule was Bucks and Bulls. That was a entertaining game, honestly. In the beginning, it was a little slow, but it definitely kicked up. It was a low-scoring game for that, but Vucevic had it going. And yeah, Milwaukee was just too tough. I mean, at the end of the day, having Drew Holiday, Middleton, Lopez, Giannis, Wesley Matthews out there switching on everything. Their defensive lineup is crazy. Giannis is crazy, finishing with 27 and 16. I think Milwaukee, like I said, is going to win this in five. I said it before, and I stand by that. And the last game was the Phoenix Suns winning 110 to 99. I mean, crazy. Blowout the whole game. Then all of a sudden, New Orleans said, you know, we're going to make a late push. Made a pretty good push. Kept the game entertaining. Cut it within, I think, 6 at one point. And before, Chris Paul just said, I'm going to take matters into my own hand. I mean, Chris Paul had 9 points the entire game and ends up with 30 points and 10 assists. I mean, the point guard himself is insane. I love the way Chris Paul plays. I love Chris Paul. I mean, one of the oldest players in the league, still going at it and going at it at a high freaking level. I mean, it's unbelievable what Chris Paul is able to do. It just amazes me. Like, it's literally art. Watching Chris Paul play basketball is like art and music, just both in one. I mean, the way he's able to get guys involved, his IQ, his defense, his shot making, his height, but how he's able to get to these spots and still, you know, finish over the top of long defenders and all of these different things. Amazing. Amazing. He finishes with 21 points in the fourth quarter alone. And that's what pretty much stopped that run. I mean, the Pelicans constantly cutting it within six, and Chris Paul just had an answer time and time again. Like, you want a bucket? I'll give you a bucket. You want a three? Got you. Want the midi? Got you. Take you to the hole. Everything. I mean, Chris Paul, his arsenal is unreal. So finished with 30 points, 10 assists, and 7 rebounds. Yes, 7 rebounds for Chris Paul. Devin Booker was also awesome. 25 points, 8 assists. 4 rebounds. DeAndre Ayton was big time. 21 points, 9 rebounds, 10 to 15. Something about a nice little playoff DeAndre Ayton where I really feel like he turns it up a notch. And man, when DeAndre Ayton turns it up a notch, that makes him even harder to freaking beat. Because the thing with DA, I feel like it's always an effort thing. Like, the talent is there with Ayton, but if he's able to just play really, really hard and hustle hard and try to, you know, finish down low, grab rebounds, he's one of the best bigs in the league. And that's kind of why people had the conversation about paying him the max in the first place, because the level he was playing, this is the same level that he was playing at last year in the playoffs. So DeAndre Ayton, awesome game. And the Phoenix Suns, what an awesome overall game. I mean, they're going to be a tough out. But hey, knowing that the Pelicans did keep up, did come back, shows me something. Shows me that this might be a nice little series here at the end of the day. Will it be over in 4? Will it be over in 5? Possibly, but I think we're in at least in store for some competitive games, and that's all you can ask for, honestly. But a great, entertaining set of Game 1 playoff matchups this week, and obviously this week we're going to continue with those. Talk about the Heat tonight. Like I told you guys, I am predicting a win, no doubt about it. Other games we have tonight, Timberwolves and Grizzlies, like I talked about. I think the Grizzlies tie this one up. I think they tie up the series 1-1. And going to Minnesota with a 1-1 series, that's going to be entertaining. Grizzlies are a 7-point favorite, which I do find crazy. I mean, after dropping game one, you know, Grizzlies minus 7, that's got me thinking a bit. Also tonight, Pelicans-Suns game 2. Suns are favored by 9.5, so pretty big number yet again. But man, these playoffs are going to be fun, and I think they're just going to get better and better and better. But focus on the prize, though. Focus on the main thing, and that's our Miami Heat hopefully taking care of business tonight for Game 2 and going up 2-2 for sure. Okay, other than playoffs, one last thing I want to talk about. So remember, I talked about my awards last episode. Who do I want to win the awards and why? You know, I gave you guys a top 2 for each category. Well, let's just say the finalists were announced this past weekend. So the finalists are 3 people, okay? So 3 people were named finalists for each of these awards, and let's just read them off to you. So, the MVP finalists, Giannis, Embiid, and Jokic. Absolutely no surprise there, all right? Those guys have been the top 3 players in the NBA all season, and I don't think anybody is debating otherwise. I mean, those 3 got to be it. Remember, I gave my vote to Joel Embiid, and I think he is going to be the one to get that award. So we'll see. But he is a finalist. So Rookie of the Year. Remember, I gave you guys Scottie Barnes. Second place, I gave Evan Mobley. So the 3 finalists are Scottie Barnes himself, Cade Cunningham from the Detroit Pistons, and Evan Mobley. 6 Man of the Year finalists. I voted Tyler Hero, obviously, which I'm sure the whole world does. So Tyler Hero, obviously a candidate, along with Cam Johnson from the Suns and Kevin Love from the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think that's Tyler Hero, and I don't even think it's close, honestly. Defensive Player of the Year finalists: Marcus Smart, Mikal Bridges, and Rudy Gobert. Is there somebody missing from that list that should be on there? Abso-fucking-lutely. And that's Bam Adebayo. I mean, I don't understand at this point. You know, you can argue about the missed games, sure. But come on, man. I mean, he still played a ton of games. He's respected by other coaches around the league. He's respected by his peers. He can guard 1 through 5. His defensive numbers, when you look into all the analytical stuff, you can find there's no reason why he should not be a finalist, and he should just get the award. And honestly, like, you look at this. I mean, Mikal Bridges, he's a great defender, but Bam can do everything that Mikal Bridges could do. Marcus Smart, is he a good defender? Absolutely. But Bam can do what he can do and more. Rudy Gobert, yeah, he's tall. Yeah, he can block shots. Okay, Bam, you know, you can't be as tall as Rudy Gobert, sure. But Rudy Gobert can't guard 1 through 5. Bam can guard 1 through 5, get steals and block shots, and be a rim protector, and be a defensive anchor. I mean, this is absolute disrespect, but honestly, you know, I say this every year with Bam Adebayo, and it sucks. I mean, it adds more fuel to the fire for him. I think he's going to go off. I think he's going to take this personally. I think he's going to go crazy on this playoff run. But, you know, it comes to a certain point where you're just tired of saying that for Bam Adebayo because it means so much to him. And you feel it. You know it means much to him. You know, you hear him talking about it on interviews and on podcasts. And I just really hope that Bam Adebayo gets this award at some point because it's just disrespectful, honestly, at this point. So I just wanted to share that. The 3 most improved player finalists are DeJounte Murray, Darius Garland, and Ja Morant. So Miles Bridges did not make the cut. He was 2nd in my thing. I was surprised to see that. But yeah. Ja Morant was my choice, and I think he will win that award. I think you have to give it to him. And then Coach of the Year, the finalists are Taylor Jenkins, the coach for the Memphis Grizzlies, who had the Grizzlies finish at a 2 seed in the West, which is unbelievable. And then Eric Spoelstra and Monty Williams. So my choice was Monty, and 2nd was Eric Spoelstra. Obviously, I gave the reason why Monty should get it and probably will get it, but I still think Spo is a better coach. But I think for this year's award, I mean, what the Phoenix Suns have done have been a huge, huge story. And Monty Williams is behind it. I think he should have got it last year. And like I said, if Monty got it last year, then Spo should get it this year. But being that Monty was already snubbed after that magnificent season last year, and then doubling up, I mean, having an even better one this year, there's no way you can't give it to Monty. So just wanted to touch base on that and give you guys a wrap up. But yeah, like I said, game 2 tonight for the Heat. Let's get that win, baby. All right, so that's a wrap. That wraps up episode 66, NBA playoffs in full swing. Hope you guys are enjoying it because I certainly am. I mean, these playoffs are just going to get better and better and better. A lot of game 2s tonight, especially with the Miami Heat. So let's hope that the Heat go and take a 2-0 series lead heading into Atlanta, where it's going to be a definite hostile environment, and we're going to need to ball our asses off to take care of that one. But the main thing's the main thing. Thank you guys for your continued support, and thank you guys for listening to the Miami Sports Vibes Podcast with Nando Diaz.